there were certain clients and projects that I talked about, and people would say, wow, you really light up when you talk about that. Mm. And it made me kind of take a step back and think about, like, why is it? Like, why is it that I get really excited about that kind of work? And I think it honestly goes back to feeling like I'm genuinely helping somebody else. Like, I'm helping to make their life better because I'm showing them that they don't have to be so stressed about all of these marketing things that can be so stressful when this is not your realm, right? Like, you're a solo.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Bauberg Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. So I am here with Christy Mitchell. Christy, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. We were just joking about it. I had an announcement today and my voice was completely shot when I re-listened to myself. Allergies, other than that, I'm super pumped up because you're a marketing specialist, you're a marketing consultant, you work with businesses from solopreneurs up to corporate level businesses, and you're really just a rock star marketer, and anyone who knows me knows I love marketing, so I'm really humbled and excited for this conversation today, allergies and all, so.
Yeah, same. We'll both be drinking our water on the side.
Tell me a little bit about what you do at your consultancy. Is it just more solopreneurs, corporations? Is it anyone under the sun? Tell me a little bit about your day-to-day at Christy Mitchell Consulting.
Yeah, so I really refocused my business a year ago, I realized. October was a year. So I refocused my business to mainly target working with solopreneurs and small business owners and staying on the strategy side. So I used to do a lot of the implementation, but I love the strategy. I love helping people see better ways to do things from the standpoint of let's look at the data from what you've been doing and use that data to help inform what you need to be doing going forward, instead of feeling like you need to be doing all things and it's too overwhelming and it's too much, it's not sustainable. So that's really been my focus. Those are the types of clients that I'm actively seeking. That being said, I do still have some corporate clients that I work with and I love those relationships. And that's, again, more on the consulting side. So it's looking at data, providing insights, just being that outsider looking in, asking questions, getting good conversations going from a digital marketing standpoint.
I love it. And yeah, I mean, we've all seen it with social media, websites, SEO. There's always a salesperson and a marketer with the next best idea. And then there's all these people online posting on social media all the time. And it's overwhelming. What are some of these concerns or problems you run into a lot of the time with small business owners, solopreneurs? Maybe they don't have a corporate marketing budget. What are some of the questions that they ask you?
Yeah. So it's funny. I just started working with someone recently and she had posted on Facebook looking for a recommendation saying that she wanted to hire someone to do her marketing for her. She wanted someone to help with her SEO, to do her social media. And I think she had a couple other things listed in there. And I know her and I reached out to her and I said, let's have a call. Like, let's just chat about this. She said, no, I want someone to do it for me. I said, well, I'm not going to do it for you, but what I will do is help you see where you really need to be spending your time and effort. And so through having that conversation, I helped her see, like, we can make this more doable for you. It doesn't have to feel overwhelming. It doesn't have to feel like I need to just outsource this because it's too much for me to handle. Let's tackle it in a manageable way and then figure out if you do need to outsource pieces of it. Maybe you do want to hire a VA to help with scheduling your social media content or, you know, writing some email blasts for you. But that's what I really enjoy doing, is taking the overwhelm out of it. I always use work smarter, not harder. Because again, I think especially those solopreneurs, it's like you're feeling like you need to be in all of the places doing all of the things all the time. And it's just not realistic. It's too much. And to your point, they don't have a corporate marketing budget. So they can't go out and hire an agency to execute all of it for them. It's just not realistic from a budgetary standpoint. Yeah, so I like bringing that simplicity to it.
Yeah, keep it simple. It's not realistic to think that you can blow $20,000 on marketing just because you have an idea. I believe you should empower yourself to learn some of it on your own. So when you're working with a company, you guys can really have that copacetic relationship because you know your stuff, because you are a solopreneur that kind of learned some of this on your own. I'm wondering, in a moment, I kind of want to get into some of the tips, but I first want to focus on Christy because I think it's important to mention the fact that you're a small business, you're a solopreneur, so you're actually going through it. You're not just a salesperson for a corporate business, you're a solopreneur yourself. So yeah. I kind of want to hear your story of starting your own business, maybe some of the roadblocks you ran into, and just a little bit about starting your business and your experience thus far.
Sure. Yeah, I think I bring a unique perspective in that sense that I do have the corporate background, but yes, I am also a solopreneur myself. So I have both experiences to kind of bring to the table. So high level story, I worked at RIT for 8 years, loved my time there. I did a variety of things, program management, a lot of like operational details, trying to make processes more efficient, that sort of thing. I also did some brand oversight, working with a marketing agency, making sure that everything was aligned and messaging was right and those sorts of things. And over the time that I was there, I really kind of morphed my job into being more marketing focused because that's what I gravitated to. And so I was really self-taught in marketing, working in a higher ed environment. I went through the MBA program there, took some marketing courses to kind of get that background. But my undergrad was actually in psychology, so I didn't have any necessarily formal marketing training. It was all just kind of like on the job learning as you go. And I implemented HubSpot while I was there in the department that I worked in. And that was huge, really, for forming my foundation of marketing knowledge and really taking the inbound approach and content marketing and being that thought leader and providing value through content and building loyalty and all of those things. So that's really where my marketing training was rooted. So I was there for 8 years, really just got to a point where I didn't have anywhere left to grow. And so I just started looking to see what I could find. I was being super picky because I really loved the people that I worked with and I wasn't going to leave for just anything. And so I honestly couldn't find anything. So I decided that I would stop looking and I would start just doing some freelance marketing on the side. Hopefully I could grow it up enough that then I could leave. I like to say when you're not looking for things, they have a way of finding you. And so I was contacted on LinkedIn by a recruiter for a marketing position at a financial services company. And they wanted someone who had experience in the higher ed space. So it was a good fit. So I left RIT to go pursue that, kind of let my freelance stuff fizzle out. The few clients that I had, I really needed to focus on the new job. And so I was there for a year and a half. It was a great opportunity in the way of being a part of a bigger marketing team, which isn't something I had. I was supporting a sales team, which is not something I had ever done. So it was a good experience. It just was not a good fit for me for a number of reasons. And it really forced me to look at what was important to me. I mean, at the time, my son was really young. He was, I think, only 2 or 3 years old. And so I had to make a really tough decision to say, this is not a good fit for me and I need to do something else. And that something else was starting my own business. So I left not being able to have that flexibility was really hard. Also having a boss who I just felt like was overseeing everything I did in a way that didn't allow me to grow and learn and affect change. I think that was a big thing for me too. Like I'm very detail oriented, but I'm also big picture and I like to think bigger and like, where are we headed and how can we improve? And I just felt kind of stifled in that environment. So again, there were a number of reasons that it just wasn't a great fit. And so I left, started my own thing and really relied on my network to build my marketing business. And I just started by doing whatever I could marketing wise, because my background, I had done a little bit of everything in the digital marketing space. So I just went out, started meeting with everyone, coffees, lunches, whatever, and just started finding some business. And I got off the ground going and started, just started running, basically, like, all right, find as many clients as I can, doing whatever type of marketing work I can. And I was successful for my first year, which was great. Not a lot of people can say that. And I'm very thankful for that. Then fast forward to the next year, the pandemic hit. And as most people know, marketing budgets are the first to get cut in a situation like that. And so I found myself in a position where I lost most of my clients. They just weren't interested in spending money on marketing at that time. They felt like they had to cut as many costs as possible. And so I sat there saying, okay, now what do I do? And what I really realized was a lot of the work that I was doing, I didn't necessarily enjoy, like executing social media, you know, scheduling posts and, you know, writing email content and those kinds of things. Like it's just, it's not work that excites me. I can do it, but it's not what really lights me up. And what I realized what lights me up is working with those solopreneurs and small business owners who just feel like they can't handle the marketing and helping them see that they can and you know, finding those ways that we can have a strategy and be more streamlined and make it more simple and more doable. And so, yeah, like I said, a year ago in October, I launched Christy Mitchell Consulting and said, this is going to be my new focus. I'm not going to implement anymore. I'm going to rely on other specialists in those areas. And I'm going to stay on the strategy side because that's what I really get excited about.
I think it's important to hear your story because a lot of people hope that marketing is just a quick fix where you just throw money at the wall and then business comes in. But you really did a lot of this the old-fashioned way where you have to get yourself out there, you have to network, you have to market yourself, you need to always be learning, always be growing. And it sounds like you have to pivot sometimes too. It seems like a lot of these career changes, you mentioned like it wasn't a good fit for you, some of these previous roles. Why do you think that is? What is that good fit? Why do you think that solopreneur business owner role fits you? Is it lifestyle reasons? What's important to you and why are you happier here than you were in a more corporate environment?
Yeah, there's a number of things. Lifestyle fit is a big one. I mean, I do have a son who is, you know, he's in school now, but it's like to be able to walk him to school and to go pick him up from school and to take him to the dentist or whatever it is, there's no like heaviness to like, oh, I have to like ask permission for this, or I have to, you know, make up this time that I'm missing from sitting at my desk and being there. You know, there's none of that. It's just, I do whatever I have to do for my family and my work gets structured around that because I have that flexibility. So that is huge. And that's where, you know, that first year of business, that's what I was focused on, is just being able to have that flexibility. So that was huge. But like I said, once the pandemic came and I lost my clients, I just kind of sat there like, okay, I love that. Like, I love that flexibility and like how fitting it with my lifestyle, but I don't love the work that I'm doing. So how do I like find more alignment with that? Like what really lights me up? And what I was realizing is there were certain clients and projects that I talked about, and people would say, wow, you really light up when you talk about that. Mm. And it made me kind of take a step back and think about like, why is it? Like, why is it that I get really excited about that kind of work? And I think it honestly goes back to feeling like I'm genuinely helping somebody else. Like I'm helping to make their life better because I'm showing them that they don't have to be so stressed about all of these marketing things that can be so stressful when this is not your realm, right? Like you're a solopreneur, you're a service provider, like you're really good at coaching or at copywriting or at whatever the thing is, whatever the service you're providing. You know, I've worked with realtors, you know, you're really good at the service you provide. That's your expertise. Your expertise is not marketing. So have a marketer help you, you know, make this feel more manageable instead of grasping at straws and trying to do everything and just feeling like you're spinning the wheels and you're not sure how what you're doing is actually contributing to your business at the end of the day. So that's what gets me super excited.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Cause I know personally, I'm opposite, but then some business owners that are trying to figure out marketing, but I'm really strong on the marketing end and then really, really weak on accounting and operations and invoicing and anything that's very technical and just like just the operations end of things. So I'm lucky enough that I'm dating an accountant, so she can teach me some of this stuff. But a lot of people are going to move into entrepreneurship or solopreneurship or start a side hustle And like you said, they're going to be really good at coaching or consulting, or they're a real estate agent, but they don't understand marketing, just how I don't understand accounting, and they're going to be overwhelmed. Where do we start? Like, I know it's not easy. I know there's not just quick, easy, simple tips that solve all your problems. But if I am starting a side hustle and I'm looking to eventually go all in and I know that I need marketing, are there any key staples that you recommend for solopreneurs to get started with?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of thinking in terms of the marketing funnel. So when I work with people, you know, a lot of times people are like, well, I need to be doing SEO and I need to be doing, you know, email marketing. I need to be social media. I need, you know, they're listing off all these things that they think they need to be doing. And I like bringing the marketing funnel into the conversation because it helps you think about a cohesive strategy so that you're not just doing all of these disjointed things that like you're not sure how they all fit together. So when I say marketing funnel, I'm talking about, you know, the wide part of the funnel is at the top, and that is like how people are learning about you. And I know that you know this, Ben, but I'm explaining it for the listeners. But, you know, how are people learning about you, right? So that's the first stage. You need people. If you're a service provider, or you're a solopreneur, you're going out on your own, like, okay, I need to get people learning about me. How am I going to do that? But what's the first step? So that could be things like networking. It could be blogging and SEO on your website. It could be writing guest articles for publications. It could be, you know, a variety of things. But how are people getting to know you? That's first and foremost. Then once they know about you, how do you convert them to get them to become a lead? So you want them to fill out a form on your website so you have their name and their email address. So that conversion piece is huge. So how are you converting them? Are you offering a webinar where people are signing up? Are you offering a downloadable offer, some sort of content that's worth it for somebody to give you their email address? Convert them in some way and then nurture them. That's like in the middle of the funnel. Okay, now how are you nurturing people? You want to be doing things like email marketing, social media, staying in front of people who already know about you so that when the timing is right, they remember, oh yeah, that's right. Ben does marketing. I'm going to go contact him with these questions I have. And then the bottom of the funnel is the convert where you're, you know, making that transition to get someone to become a customer of yours. So I like bringing the marketing funnel framework to those, especially those initial conversations where people are like, either they're like, A, I don't know where to start, or B, they're like, I'm doing all of these things, but like, I'm lost. So let's look at all of the things that you're doing and see where do they fit in the funnel, because sometimes people are really heavily focused on those top of the funnel activities, which they might not be thinking in that those terms, right? But when you actually look at what their activities are, everything is geared towards top of the funnel. And they're actually not doing anything in the middle of the funnel. They're not nurturing people on an ongoing basis. So it's not enough for people to just know about you. You have to stay in touch with them because, as we all know, people aren't going to convert the first time they hear about you.
What's maybe one example of a time when someone was spending a ton of time at a certain aspect of the funnel, but maybe they're spending all their time on social media? I mean, is there any examples of someone that's just putting way too much weight on the wrong muscle and they should be stepping back to a different part of the funnel or stepping forward to something more refined? Do any examples come to mind?
So I'm going to be vulnerable for a second. I'm going to use myself as the example. So I think, I feel like it's an ongoing joke, right? That like, You tell people what to do, but then you don't do it. You know, yes. You tell them to, you know, do as I say, not as I do type of thing. And so I am going to admit here on your podcast that I didn't have my own email marketing set up and I didn't really have ways to convert visitors to leads on my website until this year. So I was focused on the top of the funnel. I was on social media. I was networking like my life depended on it. I was getting out there. I was writing some blogs and doing some things through like local networking groups, you know, publishing articles and things like that here and there. I started getting on podcasts to, you know, get my name out there. Those are all those top of the funnel things. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I needed to have my own email marketing set up. And I will be honest, the reason I hadn't done it was because I just didn't make the time, really. I mean, I know how to do it. I've done it for people. So what I ended up doing was hiring a VA. I'm like, this is something that keeps slipping to the bottom of my list. I'm going to hire someone and they're going to get it done for me. And so I finally got it up and running. And now I send a monthly email out to my list. And I feel so good about it because I'm like, not only do people know about me now, which I still do those top of the funnel activities to get in front of more people. I just ran a webinar series. As you know, we were talking about that earlier. You know, I'm still doing top of the funnel things to be getting in front of more people. But now at least I have ways for people to convert. I have a downloadable offer on my website. Now I'm going to be offering the webinars that I did. People can download the replays, ways to convert those people, and then have the email marketing and my social media to be staying in front of them and just continuing to nurture them along the way.
I love it. And yeah, the webinar series is a great example. So let's use the webinar series. You and I talked offline a little bit about it. I was a fly in the wall. You did 3 days straight, lunchtime webinar, social media, super fun, super valuable. For anyone who doesn't know about the series, what did you do in this webinar series and why did you do it?
Yeah, so I decided to focus on social media because that is the single topic I hear the most complaints about when I'm talking to prospective clients and to my existing clients. Social media is just like the thorn in everyone's side. You know you need to be there, but you don't want to. You probably feel like you're never doing enough. And then you sit there questioning, why am I doing this in the first place? I'm not sure I got any clients from that. So I decided to focus on social media for the webinar series. And I will be honest, I started planning probably over 2 months in advance of when I was going to do it because I wanted to make sure that I gave myself enough time to get in front of enough people to get enough registrants to, you know, okay, like make this all worth the time and energy that went into it. And so I told everyone about it. I do a lot of networking. So every networking thing that I went to, I told people about the webinar series that I was doing. I utilized Rochester Women's Network. I'm a member there. I was able to send an email out through them, posted about it on social media, sent out my own emails to my existing list of contacts. And I'll be honest, the majority of my registrants did not come from my existing email list, which was pretty exciting.
Wow.
So it really felt like all of those other activities that I did just, you know, helped. I posted a lot on, when I talk about social media, not just my own channels, but groups that I'm a part of, you know, where there's networking and opportunities to share different promos or offers that you have, sharing in those places and, you know, asking people to, you know, extend the invitation to whoever they know who's struggling with social media or frustrated by it. So it was a really great, opportunity to get in front of people who I had never been in touch with before.
And you had, there was a lot of people there. The chat box was just flowing.
Oh my gosh. Lesson learned. Next time I will make sure that I have someone there managing the chat because it was just me. I did everything. And in hindsight, I was like, I totally should have had someone managing this for me. It was slightly overwhelming, but we got through it.
What are some major takeaways from your experience, whether it's things you would do differently, things that went great, or common questions coming from clients or potential clients, just general solopreneurs? Any big takeaways from doing this 3-day webinar, which is totally cool?
Yes, a bunch of takeaways. So from the standpoint of me as a business owner deciding to run a webinar series, I will say that I learned a lot in that, you know, you and I were talking about this offline. Like I was skeptical. I was like, how many people are going to actually show up? Like, and I was nervous. Again, I'm going to be vulnerable here. I was nervous. I didn't know how it would turn out because I had never done something like this before. So I wasn't sure what would happen, but I just kept pushing forward anyway. So that is one lesson learned. Like, even if you're doubting yourself, you have to see it all the way through to know whether or not it was worth it and you should do it again. So making sure you stick with it, even when you're second guessing yourself, I think is a big lesson learned. I also decided to change the platform I was using a week before the webinar, which was a tough call.
Interesting.
But I did it because what I realized was the platform I originally was going to use wasn't going to be like a webinar feel. It was going to be more like a Zoom meeting and everyone could potentially have their cameras on. There would be no polling feature. Like, I just didn't want that. I really wanted a webinar feel. And so I kind of like question myself for 2 days before finally pulling the trigger and just being like, nope, I'm doing it. I'm changing platforms. Let's go. So that was a good lesson learned. Like, I should have done a little more research ahead of time to pick the right platform. And then just making sure that I had the next logical step for people to take, which I knew I needed to do, but that was just, I think, a good thing for people to be aware of. When you're doing a webinar, you want to know, like, what is the next step you want someone to take? Because I didn't necessarily have a specific social media offering, like a package. I've done social media strategies for people, but what I decided I wanted to offer was a workshop, a paid workshop. So the webinar series was free, and then I promoted my paid workshop where people can come, and I'm going to limit it to 10 people. It's going to be a virtual workshop, and you will walk away from that with a very customized, tailored social media strategy for you and for your business. So you'll have your guidelines, you'll have your plan, you'll have a sample month of content laid out. And so knowing what the whole, again, knowing how everything integrates into the bigger picture is really important. Not just like, oh, I'm going to offer a webinar. Okay, well, why? And then what are you going to do afterwards? So I think that's really important. And the other thing I wanted to say from the standpoint of big takeaways from the actual webinar, one of the questions I got on the last session, I got so excited that the person asked this because I think it's very representative of most people. She said, you know, everything you're saying is great, and it's really helping me think about my strategy, but like, why should I even be doing social media when I don't think that I've gotten any clients from doing it? And it felt like this huge, like, aha moment, like almost like I could have paid the woman to ask me this question so that I could answer it. Like, I was so excited to jump into this question because it really kind of took everything that I covered in those 3 days and like brought it all together. I'm like, and it goes back to the marketing funnel. Like, you can't just do one thing like social media and expect, oh, I'm going to get clients from this. You could, there's a possibility you could, but it's all about the marketing funnel. You have to know what different things you're doing at different phases of the funnel to really bring someone all the way through. Social media is just a piece of it. You can't do one thing and expect, oh, someone's going to hear about me. I'm going to convert them to a lead. I'm going to nurture them, and I'm going to make them a customer all by doing this one tactic. That's not how marketing works. It has to be this multi-touch approach with a lot of things that you're doing. So that was a huge fun little takeaway. And once I explained it, she wrote in the chat, she's like, oh wow, that makes so much sense.
It makes so much sense. What I'm hearing is almost just the simple concept of begin with the end in mind, where if you have that strategy and you do have an end game and an end goal, you can tailor your strategy a lot better towards reaching that end goal. The one thing I've noticed, so I've worked with a lot of musicians, done music promotion, I've worked with a lot of creatives, and the thing about these incredibly creative people that are often incredibly introverted people as well is they go home and they create something incredible, and then they bring it to the table and they say, I hope you like it. And there's a little bit of a lack of strategy or a lack of sales mentality or bottom of the funnel kind of marketing. And I'm wondering for anybody, I mean, a lot of solopreneurs start their business because they're passionate about something, but they didn't, you know, major in psychology. They didn't go to for marketing, you know, they just want to create something unique and fun. How do we get past that where we know we have to begin with the end in mind? We know that it should lead to a sale, but we don't want to be salesy. We don't want to be aggressive. Do you find that people get overwhelmed with that bottom of the funnel conversion kind of thing? And is there anything I can do to get past that overwhelm or that confusion or just that anxiety of being salesy or pushy or anything like that?
Wow, that's a good question.
I asked it because I don't have a good answer.
Awesome. But not sure I do either.
You mentioned that you did go to school for psychology. Mm-hmm. And I guess a higher level way of asking that question is, how does psychology play a role in marketing in general, whether it's the marketer or the person buying? It seems like psychologically we can hold ourselves back a little bit.
Yeah, I to that I would say I think it's all about building trust in showing that you are an expert in your field. And at the end of the day, that's really what I preach to my clients when we're talking about things like social media and email marketing and like all of these things that involve a lot of content. Your content needs to focus on solving problems for your audience. It can't just be about you. It can't just, which is not necessarily what you're saying when people are afraid to sell themselves, but like sometimes I see people tackling social media from the standpoint of like, here's my latest offer and here's this promo and this is why I'm so great and here what my clients have to say about me and this is a new thing that I'm launching and like it's all you focused, which is not building a relationship. It's not building trust. It's not showing that you're a thought leader in your space. Mm-hmm. And so going back to what I was saying about, you know, rooting my marketing training in HubSpot and inbound marketing, like that's what it's all about. It's about putting yourself in your customer's shoes, asking yourself what problems they're having, and then creating content that's going to help solve those problems. And in a roundabout way, it does eventually come back to working with you, but it's not that like direct sales thing. Yeah. It's that showing that like, I'm the expert. I know how, you know, let me show you a better way out of this problem. Just like I structured the social media webinar series. This is a problem I hear everyone complaining about. Let me build some content and resources to help you with this. And I think that that makes the closing the deal at the bottom of the funnel happen a lot more naturally when you've done all this upfront work to show that you're an expert in your space.
I think that's really good advice because we were just talking about the strategy and beginning with the end in mind. And if you can figure out what problems you can solve and you can seamlessly solve those problems and empower and educate people and let them know that these problems aren't, there are solutions, you know, you don't have to be plagued by them. That's mm-hmm. a lot different than I've created a product that I like because this is something I care about and I want you to buy it because I'm awesome and look at how talented and creative I am. It's actually, you're flipping the script. You're finding the problem first. Mm-hmm. Where I'm hesitating, I like to be creative and there's almost has to be a balance of, okay, Ben, you need to be creative, but you also need to look at this rationally. You need to be solving a problem. You got to find a balance between the two because, wow,
yes.
I don't want to just build a product to make my customers happy if I'm losing sleep at night because I don't like the product or it's not I guess it goes back to your story, right, where you weren't, not that you weren't passionate, but you weren't like super excited about what you were doing. So you pivoted and you stayed in the same field, but you found a different problem to solve.
Yes. Yeah. I'm envisioning that and I'm not going to remember this and I'm not going to do it justice, but it's like three overlapping circles. Mm. You know, it's like what you're good at and we need to find this for the show notes and you can include what I'm talking about,
yes.
But it's like yeah. what you're really good at, what the market needs. And maybe what your passion is, what really lights you up, maybe that's the three things. And then where each of those overlap, like that is your sweet spot. And that's what you hone in on. Because you could be really good at something, but the market doesn't need it. You could be super passionate about something and the market's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Or you could be serving what the market needs, which is what I was kind of doing at the beginning, but not really loving it.
Yeah.
You could be in each of those different places, but it's finding what, where each of those overlap together in that centerpiece. And I think that that's the gold.
I'm sending this to all my musician friends. Cause, putting myself on the spot, I started marketing for musicians 5 years ago and I didn't know what I was doing. And I learned through making mistakes and trying to figure out how do you keep the balance of creativity, but then sell tickets. And it sounds like this diagram is exactly what you need to do to find a balance of all these elements and make sure you're not weighted too much in one section.
Right.
Okay.
It's not easy either. Like when I talk about this, I feel like I'm probably oversimplifying it. I mean, this was a long process for me. I feel like this took like a good year and a half, and I'm still evolving it. Like I'm still fine tuning and figuring out what the offerings look like and how I meet my market in a way that I'm excited to do. So it's not like an overnight thing that you just figure out. It's a process.
It is. It is. And it's good for people to know that, because I'm not going to figure it out overnight. None of the listeners are going to figure it out overnight. But if you keep chipping away and learning, as you said, you know, learning from HubSpot, me learning from my mistakes, learning from corporate world, you get closer and closer and closer to it as you go. So
yeah, for sure.
I got us on so many tangents today, Christy.
I felt like we kept bringing it back. I don't think it was that bad.
we did keep bringing it back, but I'm thinking back on it. It's like that's the biggest struggle that I see with solopreneurs, entrepreneurs. How do I be creative and passionate, but still have a product to sell? And it sounds like the diagram that we're going to put in the show notes really breaks it down nice and easy. Is there any action steps that a listener should take today, whether it's brainstorming on a list, going on social media and posting something? What action steps can I take to get a little bit of that momentum we were talking about?
I would say book meetings to talk to people. That's like my huge thing, especially, I mean, when I started my business and even still now, like it just plays such a role. When I was just talking about, you know, figuring out my offerings with the webinar and then what comes next. And like, I made that sound really easy. That was a process in and of itself. That was me talking to a lot of people who are my target market and like floating out ideas and getting feedback and like refining and tweaking. So I'm a huge fan of that. I mean, networking from the standpoint of meeting people, yes, super important. Also from the standpoint of, you know, getting some validation or getting new perspectives on an idea that you have or something you want to bring to market. Like I think that talking to other people is so huge, because when you're only in your own head or you surround yourself with the same people who have always been giving you feedback, it can be a little debilitating. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's really important to talk to a bunch of people about whatever the thing is that you're trying to do.
Yeah. Talk to people.
Cause it's only going to make it stronger.
Yeah. The term I like to use, Christy, is original research. When you're having networking meetings, you don't want to, I mean, I do 20 questions on the podcast, but you don't want to just do 20 questions. But if you have one or three questions that are relevant to your industry, you can ask those questions to these people as you meet them, as you network with them, and get actual original research from the target clients, the target, you know, networking partnerships. You can get the information directly from them. But none of that happens without having the conversation like you were talking about.
Yep.
So let's relax. I shouldn't say relax, because we're still going to go rapid fire, but we're just going to have some fun and get to know Christy a little bit better. Easy, fill in the blank questions, either or. No right or wrong answers. It's all up to you.
All right. Got it. I'm ready.
So cats or dogs?
Dogs. I have one sleeping by my feet right now.
Really? Oh, I can't eat. Guy or gal?
What's, I have two yellow lab girls.
Two yellow lab girls.
A puppy and a elderly 13-year-old.
I just think it's hilarious. They're so quiet. Usually when there's a dog sleeping.
She had to walk this morning. That's why she's quiet. Give her an hour. She'll be ready.
So we're in the midst of fall. Do you have a favorite season?
I love fall. I didn't realize I love fall until I lived in South Carolina. And then when I was away and I didn't have fall, I was like, oh, I really miss it. But I also really love summer, because we're big like outdoors and like lake people. So it's tough for me to pick just one.
Let's do favorite outdoor activity then in the fall or summer.
Boating in the summer for sure.
Boating
fall is like anything. I mean, hiking, walking on crunchy leaves, breaking up the leaves so my son can jump in them, all of the things.
Are there certain places that like you like boating the most?
Canandaigua Lake is our favorite. Lake.
Yeah, yep. I love it there too. What else? Podcasts or music?
Depends on the mood.
Ooh.
If I feel like I need to, well, let's see. Okay. So in the car, I tend to listen to music. When I'm cleaning the house, I listen to podcasts. because it makes me less miserable about cleaning the house.
I'm the same way. Well, we'll do one more, 2 to 3 podcasts or books. So I am making a long list of things that I, solopreneur, marketing, personal development, maybe it's just a fiction. And I want to stop worrying about this marketing stuff and just read a good fiction book.
I don't do fiction, so I can't give you any recommendations.
I don't do much fiction either. I just saw Dune. I haven't read the books, but I just saw Dune in theaters. Any 3 recommendations for the audience?
Yes, I'm looking up my podcast right now to refresh my memory. So Beyond Influential with Brittany Crystal is a podcast that I started listening to right when I was starting my own business. Love her stuff. She has awesome guests, really great. Just getting you thinking about like how to be influential in your space and that, you know, what we were talking about, like growing your following and showing your thought leadership. So Beyond Influential by Brittany Crystal. And then I am huge into like self-help things. And so I gravitate to a lot of those kinds of podcasts. So I know that you're familiar with Normal Lies by Linda Healer. That is one of my faves. And then it just launched a podcast. It's called Being Seen with Jenny Q. And it is one of those like just make you stop and think about how your past made you who you are today and how to like overcome barriers in your life. And it's really good. It's been awesome.
I love this. I'm going to add all 3 to my queue. Normalize is already in my queue because I know you've been a guest on that show. Linda's incredible. So everyone make sure you subscribe to Normal Lies as well. And how do people keep in touch with you? Where's the best place to make a friend? Do you spend your most time on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram? Should I call you, email you?
I live on LinkedIn. So that is that's the best social media platform to find me on is on LinkedIn. But there's a caveat. I won't accept friend LinkedIn requests from people I don't know. So send me a message and ask to book, you know, like a virtual coffee. I'd love to get to know you and then become a connection. But I just like to know the people I'm connected with. So I like referring business a lot. So I find it to be very helpful to know who I'm actually connected with. So you can also just follow me. If you don't want to have a meeting with me, that's fine. Follow me on LinkedIn. I think I put out pretty good content. And you can also go to my website, christymitchell.com. You can find some of those free downloadables that we talked to. You can also book a call with me right on my website.
Yeah. And guys, I'll be a testimonial. Christy's a great networker. She's a great connector. I think that's a smart move. You don't want to just connect with anybody, but you are willing to take the time to do a 10-minute virtual conversation, get to know your connections, because then you guys can better help each other and connect each other by doing that. Yes. So sounds like go message Christy and maybe she'll find some time for that connection. ChristyMitchell.com.
I always find time for connections.
Okay.
Yeah. ChristyMitchell.com. KristyMitchell.com.
I do this thing a lot, Christy, where I'll say stuff like maybe she'll find time, and I know you will find time, but I'm trying to create.
Don't say it like that.
I'm trying to create scarcity. I don't even do it on purpose. I'm trying to create scarcity because I'm not trying to sign you up for 50 conversations, because for all we know, everybody who listens to this podcast is going to reach out to you and your inbox is going to get flooded. That's what I want.
That would be awesome. Very cool.
To close out, I don't know you super well, neither does the audience. Is there anything that if I had known you for like 20 years, I would have asked you, but I don't, so I forgot to ask? Anything weird or quirky or fun that we can close out with?
Good question. What sports did I play when I was younger?
Yeah.
So I played soccer as a very young kid. I also played softball and I played tennis, but like never all at the same time. It was like, I kind of went from one to the next to the next.
And you're a wellness coach too, right?
Yes. It's kind of like a little side hobby. I'm really into healthy living by reducing toxins in our lives. So I'm really into essential oils, natural home remedies, Norwex products, cleaning your house without chemicals, all of that good stuff. So yeah, that's my That's my little side passion project.
I love it. I love it. Christy, you're amazing. I got to nerd out and ask hard questions because I'm here to learn as well. I hope the audience learned a bunch. I hope the audience does connect with you and start that conversation. And I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Awesome. I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.